Yeah, the end part of this episode is so wild, where he willingly kills her, just like cuts her down, right? Even after that, after he's shown remorse and already done something terrible and feels bad, he's like, there's nothing left.
He doubles down. He takes that shovel and he keeps on digging the hole that he's in. He said, "No, I like it underground."
Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Batch. I'm Julia.
And I'm Becca.
We're best friends and lifelong Star Wars fans, and this is now just a Star Wars fan cast.
It's just Star Wars
it's
now.
Look, folks, it's just Star Wars.
It's just Star Wars.
At the end of the day, all we got is Star Wars.
There's a one war, and it's the War of the Stars.
Star Wars.
And it's Star Wars. Yeah, this episode, we're going to be talking about Tales of the Jedi, which came out a little while ago.
Definitely some time ago.
Because other than covering a show that was currently coming out until Bad Batch came to an end, we're a very untopical people.
That's true.
I'm going to immediately contradict myself, because this is topical news now with the Dragon Age trailer coming out.
Oh, hell yeah.
But we got into Dragon Age like 10 years too late.
I mean, like, we got into Dragon Age, 8 to 9 years after the previous game came out.
2021 was when I got into it.
Yeah, well, we both did. But yeah, no, and now the fruits of our labor, right? Yeah.
Anyway, but point being, we don't keep up with things.
Yeah, Tales of the Jedi came out October 26, 2022. So,
really? Oh, that long
like
ago.
Okay. A year and a half, 2 years ago?
I mean, obviously, we're going to do Tales of the Empire next, so that's a little more
That
topical,
was the reason that we were doing this. It's just I wanted to have sort of like a baseline.
If we're going to do Empire, we have to do Jedi, so... Anyway, that's what we're talking about this episode.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I don't feel like I hear people talk about this show all that much, even amongst my coworkers who are, like, big into Star Wars as well, but it's like...
Are they big into Clone Wars, though?
Some of them are.
Oh, okay, because I was like, this is, like, if you don't like Clone Wars or you don't know who, like, Ahsoka is...
Yeah.
If you're just like, I just watch the movies and that's it.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, what is happening?
Yeah. None of them are really on like what I would consider like tier one of Star Wars fandom. It's like, which is just sort of general audiences.
Yeah.
But like they're definitely I don't think they're as lost in the sauce as we are, but like some of them are really into High Republic, some of them are more into things than others, but a lot of them are into the animated shows. I feel like no one talks about this, or they talk about it in passing more. I was really, really fucking delighted with this show.
Yeah, this was really good. I'm always kind of a fan of like little anthologies. I think it's kind of a departure. I think that they generally have to be a little like artsier and like a little more, you know, not forethought, that's not the word I'm looking for,
like,
but
buttoned up,
have a little more like cohesion to them.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You can't rely on anything like shock or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan of these little anthologies. Like I do think that as just like a general comment, I think short stories are often much harder to write than like full like narrative, like long multi-chapter things or multi-season things. Granted, the characters in these stories have a lot of like backstory that has been already provided that you probably know about, but like I like this kind of stuff. I think it carries a lot of thought with it, and like, you know, you gotta have a big theme, otherwise it's just like what is this?
Yeah, no, I really like this too. Like that was kind of my thought as well on like the overall idea of these, is that like I like the like 12 to 18 minute episode length. I like that it's 6 episodes. Like I feel like a lot of this particularly is true for Marvel Disney Plus shows. Star Wars doesn't really follow this rule. A lot of the Marvel shows will be like 6 to 8 episodes, and they're long episodes, like hour and a half. But so many
they
of them
like essentially extended movies.
Yeah, I at least from what I hear from my coworkers, because I'm not as much into Marvel anymore.
Couldn't
these days.
Pay me enough to.
Yeah. I just, they tend to not hit the mark, it seems, which is an interesting thought when it comes to, like, I think potentially trying to squeeze so much information. Like, if you're giving yourself as much time as an hour and a half per episode for 6 episodes, that's a huge amount of time.
That's more than 6 hours. That's a long time.
Yeah. And it's
that's
like,
more than a drive from San Francisco to LA.
Yeah. Which is crazy to me. But I feel like when you present yourself with limitations is when you kind of are introduced mm-hmm. into like a sort of a new level of creativity.
You really have to trim the fat down.
Absolutely.
And that's
think we've talked about this before, probably at some point, knowing us. I couldn't tell you for sure though, but like Over the Garden Wall, right, mm-hmm. is I think one of my favorite animated shows,
yeah.
if not one of my favorite shows, just like even based on like pacing and writing alone. That's a show that's what, it's 11 or 12 episodes. The episodes themselves are around 11 minutes.
They're short.
They're very short, but they never feel as short as they are, which I think is kind of amazing.
The ending is always like a surprise to me. I'm always like, oh shit, it's over already?
Yeah, right? And it's like, I watched it in college for the first time with my roommates, and I was so like flabbergasted and interested and immediately sucked in. And I feel like so much time was passing, but really it wasn't all that much because of like truly how well they pace and write that show. Like you get into episodes and things are already happening. There's not a lot of fat. There's not a lot of slow,
they
like,
don't
unnecessary
coddle
time.
Their audience either.
Absolutely.
They're like,
not.
Here you go. This is the story. If you want, if you're interested, pay attention. Yeah. If you're not, then fuck off.
And like, there are like little references that you pick up on, yes. right? Like, especially when you get to like, it's the second to last episode when like things start coming together. Right. And there's like little things throughout that you're like putting pieces together.
Yeah.
I think they did it so well in that. And like, I feel like anytime I see like a short anthology series, I always think about Over the Garden Wall and like kind of contemplate it. I think Tales of the Jedi did a really good job yes. as well in that same type of format. So I was really delighted when we watched this, and it was like, it was easy breezy. Like I never felt like any of the episodes lingered too long or were cut short. Like all of them ended exactly where I wanted them to.
Yeah.
And I was really happy about that. Like it really is a mark of a good show where I was completely satisfied.
Yeah. And I think every episode added something else. Like, I mean, obviously this is like just kind of like it's about both Dooku and Ahsoka. Like they've kind of mirrored these characters together, which I'll get into later.
Yeah.
Why I think that's so interesting.
Yeah.
But like, it's not like there's a big grand mystery to reveal. It's not like Over the Garden Wall in the sense that like you're trying to figure out like the storyline and who these characters are. Like we know who these characters are, and so there's not a big mystery to it. But like, each thing has kind of added a little bit of flavor and a yeah. little bit of something that we previously didn't have. So it's not even like, I don't know. It's adding something, even though no one's figuring out it's not like a new information that we're seeing revealed on a plot basis,
yeah.
is what I mean.
Yeah. And it was really interesting. And I do like, I mean, like conceptually, I love the idea of like, let's find two characters to center this kind of vague anthology narrative around. And maybe I feel like, I don't know if this is like for sure, but it's kind of like, let's center characters that we may like want additional information about, or like in a way that is new to us, which I think is really interesting. I'm going to be interested to see how that plays out in Empire, because like, it's two characters I wouldn't have guessed.
I mean, putting Ahsoka and Dooku as kind of like a mirror to one another, or like contrasting their stories and stuff, was interesting, because those are two characters that didn't really have a lot to do with one another.
No.
Despite sort of like fighting in the same war, but they never like really met or like
it's
had
not
any
like
kind
they
of
were like specific adversaries.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think they did it really well. But I'm interested to see how Empire goes, because I mean, obviously we know who Barriss and Morgan Elsbeth are, but like, you know, at least for Barriss, like we've had her in Clone Wars and we have her story, like we know it.
Yeah.
This feels like a bit of a weird retcon for Morgan Elsbeth, because like, other than her being kind of like a Dathomirian witch sort of lady,
yeah.
and then like that one episode in Mandalorian where she's like the weird governor of a town, we don't know that much about her.
Yeah.
So this is like, this Empire will be like the biggest place we get new information about this character, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I
mean, she's in Ahsoka, but like, I mean,
but,
and
like,
we'll
we
talk about that later, but like,
but like, I, other than her being part of like the Dathomirian,
yeah, we don't
sort
really
of plan,
know
we don't really know that much about her. And then she fucking dies.
Yeah.
Spoiler, sorry. you know, you probably seen Ahsoka. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it's interesting who they chose. Like, and we can kind of jump into like that conversation if you want, but like, I do think that's like I think that's like what got me interested in this mm-hmm. originally, is like, huh, Dooku. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, besides the fact that like he really doesn't have all that much screen time in, I mean, the second movie, and then at the beginning of the third movie, he's immediately killed, right? And we don't see him in Phantom Menace.
For so long, he was simply just a villain.
He was just sort of a guy.
And so I'm always a fan, and Star Wars does this quite a few times, is they kind of deconstruct, like, who the villain was before they became a villain, which I think is so important, because, like, not that, like, I don't know. I just don't think that no one's, like, born evil. No one, like, you know, just completely born a villain and doesn't have to, like, go through traumas and respond and make choices in a way that leads them down one path or another. Like, so I appreciate that they have that in, what's the word? That is a consistent thing that Star Wars does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very thematically, like, on point, obviously, for them. Light side, dark side, mm-hmm. whatnot. But also, this is a thought I just had.
Mm-hmm.
For a show that is primarily about two characters which are steeped in being Jedi, I like that we don't have a lot of, like, light side, dark side, force talk.
Yeah.
We see a lot of it, like, in play. Like, it's happening as we're watching them. Like, it, but it's not, like, no one ever is just like, don't go to the dark side. Don't.
It's bad.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we don't have this one character kind of hanging in the balance being, like, pulled in either direction verbally, I guess. Like, people, we kind of know who these characters are. So we know one becomes a villain and one obviously is not. But
I think it's really interesting, honestly, on that subject that, like, it does feel like this show has created nuance where there isn't usually nuance.
I think that's one, like, of the notes that I wrote down, like, the first time
I like this. Between dark side and light side, but also, like, politically and religiously, like, between the Jedi and the Republic, which, like, I'd love to talk about at some point, but, like, it's, I think, was, like, really refreshing to me, because we talk a lot about how, I mean, we talked about this a lot on Bad Batch, but, like, you know, how the Republic isn't necessarily, like, the good guy. Mm-hmm. And, like, while the Separatists weren't necessarily, like, the best people either, like, the choice to use robots to fight a war instead of creating organic human people is, like, a really interesting
Which, like, ethos, I know they didn't mean to do that. Like, it was kind of foisted upon them, but they also weren't, like, just like, shut it down.
Like,
we're not doing
do
that.
Yeah. You know, it's like, we'll just find jobs for these million first boys you made.
Like, I recognize there is nuance in that as well, but also they didn't not, they didn't
stop.
They
could have said no, but they said, well, they're here anyway.
Yeah.
I love this one boy.
I feel like we've gotten Star Wars going to the point where, like, they're making statements about, like, war in the sense that, like, it is truly, like, the civilian, it is truly, like, the everyday person, it's the individual people within this that get, you know, the fucking short end of the stick, or whatever that phrase is.
Yes, I think that's it.
They get fucked is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I do really like that we delve into this, like were the Jedi culpable in this?
Yeah.
Like, was Dooku's response the correct response? Like, not that you have to look through everything with, like, a what's right, what's wrong kind of black and white lens, but, like, I like that we're acknowledging these things that, like, we maybe have been hinting about in, like, the Clone Wars and stuff.
Yeah. I love this. And I love that we have these kind of, like micro conversations about stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I really loved, like, on this subject, it's the second episode, right? I think it's called Justice, right?
Yes.
Is the one in the, like, 1600s Star Wars town.
The weird Puritan
the
town
sort of
with
Puritan
the Tudor
town.
Architecture.
Correct. That I was immediately like, okay. But, like, I love that kind of the whole crux of that episode is, like, the son of this senator being like, how can my father, like, treat people like this? And then effectively also looping in the idea of, like, the Jedi are, you know, help the Republic, the people of the Republic. But it's like, no, what you help is the people who already have money and power.
Exactly.
Like, I think that was wildly hard hitting for a Star Wars animated show in the second episode of, like, this, like, 15 minute little anthology thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild to be, because here's the deal. Anytime that's in, like, sci-fi, and I could go off on this about a while, but I won't. Sci-fi very much has historically been, like, a vehicle for talking about, like, social and political problems, but in a way that is effectively more palatable to greater groups of people. This is true of, like, the original Twilight Zone series, which originally was supposed to be about current events, effectively.
I said also MASH, and I'm like, that's not
MASH
sci-fi.
MASH is satirical.
I was just thinking about shows,
but, like, yeah, that is another show that I like. But, yeah, no, and then Rod Serling pitched Twilight Zone as a Star Trek series so he could effectively talk about the things that he wanted to talk about, but in a way that was more palatable, aka like weird sci-fi shit.
Did you mean sci-fi?
Yeah, I said sci-fi.
You said Star Trek.
Ah, fuck.
He pitched it as a Star Trek show. I was like, wait, he did?
No, sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay.
I was also thinking about Star Trek. Yeah. Star Trek is also like that. Sorry. He pitched it as a sci-fi show.
Got it.
And it had to do with like advertising and stuff too, because like advertisers didn't want to like pay for a show that was like, hey, did you hear about this horrible news that happened? It's like racism is happening. They're like, we don't want to put our like dairy farm name on that.
And Ron Sterling said, okay, bet.
Okay, bet. And then he's like, what if I put a man in space or whatever? And they're like, we love
they're
it.
Like, we love that.
And he's like, it's the same thing. We're just talking about aliens now.
I was so ready to believe you that it was a Star Trek show at the beginning.
No, that would be wild. No, Star Trek is just a holistically Gene Roddenberry production.
But it is very, like, it does have pretty good commentary about things.
Out of that. Like, a lot of sci-fi TV shows, like, were born in that era out of the same type of thing. But anyway, all that to say, sci-fi usually points back to, and the original Star Wars is exactly like this too, to a sort of, like, socio-political, like, commentary in a way.
Yeah, I think it's less hard-hitting because they're like, hey, Nazis are bad.
Yeah, in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess there also is the like underlying idea of like America as the Empire as well. So there's that. It's not just like
I will say that like I think Star Wars is less when it comes to that than truly like Star Trek, which Star Trek is if you didn't know, our world in the future.
Yes.
So like it has a little bit more of that vibe to it. But I like that in, sorry to bring it home, in Tales of the Jedi, right, we kind of have that flavor coming back of like, you can use this to look at your own society and be like, is that something, answer yes, that is currently happening in the world that I live in, right? And so like having this understanding that like the Jedi, who are effectively this religiously significant, like militaristically significant group of people that like say that they're helping everyone, but really who they're helping is who is effectively who is lining their pockets or who is helping them. Like there's
kind of
like,
or at the very least, the Jedi are a cog in that machine.
Yeah,
like they're not doing those things necessarily. Like they are more of a stalwart. Like I guess you would call them. They would have morals, right?
Yeah.
But because like every time they find out about something like this, they're abhorred and they're like, "Oh, I don't want that."
Yeah.
But it's like, but you continue to participate and perpetuate this system.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yes.
So all that to say, I thought that was a really interesting part of the second episode. I liked that we didn't beat around the bush with that. Yeah. It was like, no, this is what's happening. And I also really like that, like, when it comes to the characters, like, we have another conversation in whatever episode it is at the beginning with Dooku and Mace Windu, where you kind of see their two personalities diverging, and that, like, interestingly enough, Dooku is a little bit more of, like, pragmatic, like, thinking about potentially, like, the people and potentially how the Republic is maybe not doing so good, and Mace Windu is very like a rules oriented person, and I liked that kind of as an understanding of like not that Dooku could have saved the council, prevented any of this from happening, but he clearly had a different ideology, and the fact that like Mace Windu is the one who's appointed to the council, right? Mm-hmm. And then like the council kind of does seem to move in that direction where they become very like legalistic and like rules oriented, and then effectively, in my opinion, become blinded because of that.
Yeah,
where like it kind of feels like a changing of the guard to me, and then also like an understanding of like past and present and like different ideologies, and like Mace Windu is not my favorite character because he's such a rules guy. I just found him kind of annoying. But like, I think in something like this, he's a really great character to play off of Dooku.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That was a very good episode. I enjoyed that one. Do we want to get into like why these two characters were chosen?
Yeah, let's do it. We started talking about that, and then we started talking about political stuff. But then, like, you know, we're free flowing here. We're not.
We can return to the political stuff too. I actually didn't know that. I knew it was Ahsoka, but I thought it was like multiple other characters. I didn't know it was just her and Dooku. So I was really surprised when I saw that. But now that I think about it, I'm really enjoying this because it really does feel again like you're kind of showing these like cycles, because like Ahsoka is in effect basically like his great-great-grandchild or grand mentee, because it's
Qui-Gon to Obi-Wan to Anakin to Ahsoka.
Great, great, great.
grandpa. Padawan.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting that, like, I mean, their stories are similar in the fact that, like, they kind of recognize this corruption within the Jedi and then decide to do something about it. But their choices are so different, right? Yeah. And, like, lead to such different things. And, like, the idea, too, that, like, Dooku's choices, I mean, not that he was 100% responsible, but again, he, like, gave his allegiance to something that basically ended up destroying the entire galaxy.
Yeah.
Creating the world in which Ahsoka has to live in.
Yeah.
Like, this idea that, like, choices echo. What were we watching recently that there was, like...
Like, talking about, like, a ripple effect of choices.
Oh, we haven't finished The Fall of the House of Usher yet, or you haven't.
Yeah, we did.
Did we finish it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did. Huh.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't remember. I think I'm thinking of Midnight Club that we haven't finished, neither of us.
We definitely finished Fall of the House
but like sure. That's very like a theme within that,
yeah, absolutely.
Where like this man's rotten choices have fucked an entire generation and a half of people, and so like it's very similar thing, and I really enjoy the like I think it is very like on theme, on par with the Jedi philosophy of these like cycles, right? And I just like that. I don't know. I think that these are really interesting characters to contrast because of that reason.
Yeah.
And that's the, I don't know, the basis of this little anthology.
Yeah, no, I was like really, I mean, I keep saying like delighted, but I was really delighted by that too, because I feel like the spirit of having shows like this is like present to me something I would not have expected. Which obviously can be for better or for worse. Like, I think sometimes like unexpected can mean like this wasn't maybe the best choice, but I think in this case, like, unexpected was like really refreshing and enlightening. Mm-hmm. And like, I love that we get to, I mean, you mentioned this before, we effectively get to see another side of Dooku, and like, not that his actions are okay. I don't know what the word to put there is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend him.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't, yeah. He can't, like,
you mean justified?
Yes, thank That's you. Okay. It's like his actions aren't justified. Like, what he did in the end was not
his
cool.
Actions are understandable, they're not justified
exactly
though.
But we get to understand why he did them, and I think that's really interesting. And again, I feel like, yeah, making the same kind of connections that you did, like, I love the thought of like, here's two characters that maybe have more similarities than you thought. Mm-hmm. And like the idea of like truly two people like being in like in the Jedi Order at two very different times, one being the catalyst for the situation that the other one is in, but ultimately having really similar arcs coming to completely different conclusions, mm-hmm. is so fascinating.
And having completely different effects on the world, or impacts on the world.
Yeah, and like even to the point where it's like, I kind of like that they effectively, to use this word, like deconstruct the idea of the
I
Jedi.
I literally wrote down Ahsoka's journey is very much one of deconstruction.
Fuck yeah, man.
We've been watching a lot of new evangelicals, so it's on
brain.
Brand for us too.
It's on brain.
It's on the brain and on the brand.
Yeah. But I think it's really interesting, right? Because like, Dooku's story is effectively becoming like so jaded kind of by like the situation that he played a part in, right? Obviously, but like he kind of like falls out of faith really. Mm-hmm. And like the decision he makes is like, for some reason he thinks aiding Darth Sidious is the choice here.
I'm assuming he
thought it would go a different way.
Oh,
obviously.
For sure. But again, like once fucking Palpatine revealed himself to basically be worse or like be behind all of it, essentially he still continued to make those choices,
but like I don't know. And then like Ahsoka kind of obviously going through like her like really big last push in her arc in season 5 of Clone Wars, right, where she like, you know, gets charged with domestic terrorism, and they're like, we don't believe that you're innocent. And then she's like, I've lost all faith in the fact that you could ever, like, I should ever trust you. Like, why should I put my faith in you if you can't even believe me, someone you've known my whole life, right? Mm-hmm. And then like kind of like making the choice to leave. Like, I like that they choose to leave out of similar but different circumstances and make different choices. And it like, it truly is like, wow, you really found like an interesting match there. And like a really interesting, those, I mean, like foil, right? Like we get to see the, you know, the similarities and differences. Sorry, go for it.
The way that I put this is that like, yeah, they do both choose to leave. I guess in essence, Dooku basically said, everything that you are, I'm going to become the opposite of because I hate you. It's like a very channeled by like rage and hate, which obviously is dark side. But like
okay.
It's just like, I feel like sometimes, much like, well, you know, have you prayed about it?
Yeah,
and, like,
absolutely.
Has become such, like, a pat answer. I feel like that, yeah, I'm really getting like, from a lot of the philosophy of this.
Truly, I feel like always the, like, well, it's fueled by emotion and anger is so, like, the shit that I was told where it's, like, you can't be angry at people, pray about it. It's like, okay.
But, yeah. He basically took that and said, I'm going to just oppose you. I'm not really going to, like, extract what is good here and what is bad and separate the two. He just was like, I'm going to keep things in the shadows. I'm not going to bring them to light. I'm not going to, you know, have conversations or, like, choose to preserve myself by simply, like, extricating myself from this, which is exactly what Ahsoka does. She... Even when she's being welcomed back into the Jedi, be like, oops, we fucked up, sorry. She's just like, no.
Yeah.
And here's exactly why. Yeah. I'm going to tell you why. Yeah. And I'm, you know, I mean, of course she is, like, emotional about it. And that's a traumatic thing to have to leave your whole life. But she basically said, this is why. And I'm not going to submit to this anymore. Like, you know, I'm just going to leave. I'm going to protect myself.
Yeah. I don't know. It's so interesting. And again, like, it's interesting to me also to have Ahsoka be the other character in this. Like, again, I'm very delighted by that decision. But we've seen so much of Ahsoka. But I was so happy that we kind of got to see, like, another side of all of this. Like, mm-hmm. we really, I don't know. Like, you know, she leaves the Jedi and then we see her in season 7 and a bunch of stuff happens in season 7. But I feel like this is kind of, like, bringing to light some really interesting juxtapositions that, like, you know, maybe, like, even fans have, like, noted, but, like, I like that they came up in this. Notably, there's that episode that's, which one? Oh, Practice Makes Perfect. It's the second to last episode with...
That one's really interesting.
There's some really... Anyway, sorry. We can talk about that in a minute, but all that to say, like, I don't know. Like, it was really interesting to me to choose a character that we've already had so much content with, but still somehow create, like, a really interesting... different new side of this. Mm-hmm. I also really wanted to point out that, like, I really love these two characters in tandem because I love that, like, a lot of their stories have to do with grief, that we both get essentially, like, they both lose people to the same situation, right? Like that scene with Dooku where he's, like, at the tree in the temple and it's effectively like I didn't even realize like where in episode one. Like, I thought he left the Jedi Order a really long time ago.
Same. Yeah. I didn't realize it was that recent.
But the fact that he's there effectively during episode one, and by the way, he deletes the archive memory.
That's
or whatever.
That's why Sifo Dyas and Kamino was not there.
Yeah. Thanks, Childs, from the class.
And that's why we get that killer scene in episode two.
But, like, it's so heartbreaking. And I didn't even realize what was happening in that scene until they started talking where he's at the tree and he's mourning Qui-Gon's death.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, this is terrible. Like, it's horrendously sad. And it's just like, because they don't even say, like, really at the beginning, like, I can't believe he's dead. You know, it's just like,
well, yeah, I mean, that would be,
yeah. Like, obviously they start talking about it, but it's like, I love the sort of, like,
that's
subtlety
sort of, the reveal,
of the scene and how, like, quietly sad it is. Yeah. And then also, like, that is effectively what pushes Dooku. Then he goes and, like, meets with Darth Sidious and he was like, Qui-Gon wasn't supposed to die. And Darth Sidious
what's
is like,
funny
well, fuck
about
you.
This? So, yeah. So, like, the mirror to that episode, which is Choices, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is the Practice Makes Perfect one.
Yeah.
Which, like, we also see the time in which Ahsoka lost everybody important to her. And, like, I mean, that was a big traumatic event, too. But it's funny because, like, she wouldn't have had that traumatic event if Dooku had made a different choice.
Yeah, again, like, it's the ripple down.
And what's more is that, like, that Dooku was already working with Palpatine by this point.
Yeah.
So, and he knew, like, he knew that Darth Maul was in play here. So, like, I'm not saying that it's obviously, like, his fault specifically that Qui-Gon died, but, like, he put his trust in someone who was completely not, you know, trustworthy at all. And
it makes it, like, somehow more understandable to me, his actions, where it's like,
yes.
God, that's, like, heart-wrenching. And, like, you do kind of get to see his humanity, which is not really something we ever get to see of mm-hmm. him in any of episode 2. I mean, he dies immediately in episode 3, and then we have just a bunch of shit with him in Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Like, even the stuff with Ventress and him, like, we really don't see him as, like, a human person with, like, thoughts and feelings, to be fair. At that time, he seems quite hardened, and, like, he is a shell, right? But, like...
Well, and what's funny, too, is that that episode, Justice, where he gets specifically angry that, like, the senator is using only, you know, using his influence to become more rich and to, you know, hang out with the, not hang out, but, like, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically, like, hobnob on the rich and, like, try to become more like that. And it's like, my brother in Christ, you died with a war chest and with a legacy of deep colonization to whatever planet.
Sereno.
Yeah. I mean, like, we have that whole episode about that in The Bad Batch. So I'm like, you became that.
You became the thing that you sought to destroy. Yeah. Like, it is. And again, I think it's kind of a really interesting commentary on kind of like the nature of human people. Is like, we all set out to do something, and then like corruption and all of these different like changing forces, right? Yeah. And time can make you the exact thing that you hated, right?
But it's, I mean, like, yeah, the choices that you make specifically.
And I think like becoming so, like, I love that he becomes so like enraged with the idea of like what the Republic is doing and effectively what it stands for behind the scenes, and like that he just like completely changes as a person and like kind of loses his humanity. And interestingly enough, I feel like Ahsoka, she leaves the Jedi and she becomes not necessarily more human, but I feel like she like learns how to live as a person, which is something that she was not afforded
rather
as
than
a child.
Jedi.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
It's, I don't know, like, it again, surprising show, but anyway,
surprisingly deep.
Yeah.
Do we want to go like episode by episode and talk about what we liked? I'd like to talk about the order of these episodes, because it's interesting that we start off with like an Ahsoka themed one when she's a baby. I mean, I think they're chronological.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're chronological. I think that's
why. I think they are as well,
but I love the idea. So like, usually in anthologies, it's interesting that it's not like Dooku, 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 Ahsoka, Ahsoka, Ahsoka. It's like we get, and again, I think it is because it is chronological, but like, I like the idea of starting off on this episode called Life and Death. I enjoy the fact that like Ahsoka's in this series, a lot of her appearances are very surrounded by like tragedy and death. And like, I like that in the Tugruta culture that she comes from, it's very like her mother is this hunter and she basically is seeking to familiarize Ahsoka with the concept of death very early.
Yeah.
Not in like a scary bad way, but like in like a way that's like, it's part of life.
Yeah.
And like, we need to respect it. And then, I mean, obviously through the episode, she like, that's when you realize she has, you know, her animal handling abilities.
Her Jedi animal handling proficiency.
Yeah. So like, in a way, she's kind of able to like, not cheat death, but like overcome that.
Yeah.
And she's like faced in this situation. I mean, she's a baby, so she doesn't really know what's happening, but like, she's doesn't approach this situation with fear. She has like the sense of calm about this, which I think, not that like your choices or who you become is completely based on like how you are raised or who, you know, who you come from basically, but like the idea that like her parents did not instill fear within her, like it wasn't like a big thing in her culture and life until like you get her sort of like second parental figure, which is Anakin, who was like, I mean, so scared all the time. I think that's the next one that we get. Yeah, the next Ahsoka episode that we get is The Practice Makes Perfect, where he is just like so scared of losing her that like he forces her to like fight and fight and fight and fight and do it again and do it over again and like all this stuff. I mean, I guess in the end, like, it was good practice just because of what happened, the horrible tragedy that she had to face in there. But like, I don't know. I like this contrasting of like facing death without fear, or facing like, you know, these things without fear, versus like the fear in her master was what made her kind of have these experiences.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, fully.
That was long-winded. But.
No, I like it. But it also kind of makes me think like the sort of version of that I was thinking of was, it's really interesting to understand that. Yeah. Like, her mom taught her about like looking at death, seeing death as effectively the, like, you know, the circle of life, the natural order of things, like things die. And she says this, and like, and we don't waste an animal, right? Like, we use all of it, you know, there is sort of like a gratefulness, a graciousness in that. And sort of like the natural way of things in that. What I think is interesting though, is that like effectively, like, she's taught as a child that like, you know, to not fear death and not look away from it, But then as like, you know, as a Jedi, she effectively becomes a Deathbringer. Like yes. she is,
yeah.
like it becomes a bastardization of like the natural yeah. order of things, because like instead of like death being a part of life and only doing it when necessary, it's you are, I mean, within the Clone Wars, killing all sorts of people and then going on to have to kill your friends, right? Yeah. Like it really is like an interesting and like really terribly sad and heavy juxtaposition yes. of like the simplicity of nature versus like you fucking the natural order of
exactly.
things
yeah.
to be what you were taught never to be, right? Yeah. Which is like a warrior, right? Yeah. Like a Deathbringer. You're supposed to be a peacekeeper.
Doing things, yeah, exactly. Yeah, doing things out of a fear, out of like,
yeah, and like
a rage, out of.
I think
versus out of like the need or yeah, the usefulness
exactly
of it, yeah.
And I think we talk about this sometimes, but how ironic it is that very much like the Jedi Council and the Jedi at large do become the thing that they say that they never want to be, which exactly. is acting out of fear, yeah. right? All of them do. Like so much of like being stubborn about not wanting to see things going on, it seems very fearful to me and very like stuck in the past and very like stubborn and stalwart and whatever.
I mean, they're kind of supposed to be like the clarity of the Republic yeah. and like the guiding moral light, but they have like literally locked themselves away
yeah.
and like kind of stifled themselves and yeah. blinded themselves. Yeah.
And I feel like it's just like, it's so interesting and ironic. And yeah, Anakin is such an interesting character in that, because like truly, I think a lot of his motivation is fear, right? When it comes to Padme, right? His whole motivation there is like, I need to become so powerful that you can like never die, or I can bring people back from the dead.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Ahsoka, where he's like, you know, facing droids is, you know, or like essentially pre-programmed like practice is not the real thing. Like, you know, you need to do this or else like you're not going to be prepared. And like, you can tell that he's terrified of everything. And yeah. it's like, so interesting how
fear has
those,
been his motivator for a long time.
Yeah. How those decisions push other characters in different ways. Yeah. Right. Like effectively that's how Padme dies, right?
Exactly.
And
yeah.
that's like Ahsoka leaves and like, you know,
it's very Oedipal of almost like running away in fear of doing the things you've been kind of destined to do.
Oh, in like the sort
and then
of like
in the running.
Oedipus, what did you say? Oedipal?
Like Oedipus.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
I was like, I was going to say in the sort of vein of Oedipus.
Yeah, Oedipal.
I've never heard that word before.
That's the like adjective
that's fine.
Version of that word. Yeah. 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 But like in the running away from your destiny
yeah.
is where you find your destiny.
Yeah, you
right?
are you are
yeah.
fated,
yes.
right? So fantastic.
But
and
like that's
like
the question of Oedipus. Sorry to return.
Yeah, yeah,
to
no,
that.
No, but it's good.
It's like, was he fated, or was it the choices that he made
yeah.
in order to escape his destiny?
Or
out of
was
fear?
Fate the choices along the
yeah,
way?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's super interesting, and honestly, I think that's just like a really, I mean, you know, the sort of epic tales, epic poetry, and plays, I feel like, are very good when it comes to storytelling in this sort of like classical sense.
Mm-hmm.
But this episode, right, episode 5, Practice Makes Perfect, when we started watching it, I think it was so funny that they started doing this training, right, with the wherever the fuck they are silo with like
Tara Sanube and
after
with
that,
the clones.
Yeah, Tara
yeah.
Sanube is there. So is Caleb and
yeah.
Deppa. And I love that Caleb.
And Obi-Wan with his mullet.
Oh my god. I love that. Sorry, quick note. I love that they're like, we have to fix the hairstyles, because technically when you see them in the Clone Wars movie, their hair is too long.
Yeah. It's yeah, because it's right at the beginning of the Clone Wars.
Yeah, because it's Christophsis, which yeah. is like one of the first engagements they do.
Yeah.
I love that I know that. Also, sorry, another quick note. I love that they fucking retconned Ahsoka's outfit, her
yeah.
original outfit.
Thank you.
Which we talked
We've
about.
We've been saying this for years.
Literal years. In our, what, it was our second Bad Batch episode. It was
yeah.
Cut and Run,
mm-hmm.
Where we were talking about how Ahsoka, her first outfit in Clone Wars, which was like the little bando thing, how that's like absolutely
and then like a
not
mini skirt and no
age
yeah.
appropriate. That's not a cool choice.
She's
for,
like 14.
I know she's
13.
A fictional character, but again, like it's not cool for adults to make that decision about a child female character in a show as a representation to other young girls.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they fixed it, and now she has a very like respectable top that like makes sense for
yeah.
doing active things
yeah.
and like, you know, she seems to have some more agency in that. Anyway, back to what I was saying at the beginning, or sorry, not the beginning, the like second part of
yeah.
this episode, where Anakin's like, you're gonna get shot at by our friends a bunch. You
like,
were like
off the bat, how traumatizing
immediately. And I was
even
like,
if it stuns or like
Rex
whatever.
How is Rex okay with
yeah.
this? And there is a scene somewhere in there where Rex is like, I don't know
I
if
don't
we should be doing
this. Yeah.
But I think you made a comment of like, man, this is going to be really rough. This is rough considering what happens with Ahsoka and the clones.
Lo and behold.
And lo and behold, what happens.
That's our last scene.
Oh my God. I mean, absolutely tragic. And the fact that
Dave Filoni was like, hi, would you like some drama today?
It's so good. And it's like,
it's good though. It is.
I loved too, just like, again, it's finding the juxtapositions between things and understanding like how Anakin would have raised her with the like inherent fear that he has and how hard that she works and how good she wants to be, and then like effectively that also becoming like a bastardization, and like it's not help anymore, it's survival, right? And it's not your friends anymore, it's your enemies. And like, I don't know, like I think it's really interesting to see like the way that time twists these things. Mm-hmm. Right? And like, I mean, I adore season 7 of Clone Wars. I've said it before, I'll say it again, I think it's some of the best TV writing I've ever seen. But the fucking like the time jumps in this episode where like every single time she does this, it's later and later and later. And then you start understanding the trajectory of this episode. And then that last fucking scene where, you know, her and Rex walks her in and it's all of the clones who at that, the whole 501st who at that point had already painted their helmets to look like her, which I think is so fucking terrible.
That's
and like,
so wild.
Right. And like, because up until that point, they were like in allegiance with her. They were so happy that she was back. Right. Yeah. Because she was their friend, right? And they were like siblings essentially, and they'd been through hell together. And like, just the fact of like effectively like all of the people that were previously with her are now against her and they're gonna kill her, and she's like, the only thing I can do is to survive is kill my friends, is like, I don't know. And then just the wide shot, like the fact that they don't show any action there after an entire episode of action, the same action, repetitive, right? And then just like that wide shot of the hangar bay and just all of them, and I was like, holy shit.
Not to mention like, it's so chilling to be like, wow, they painted their helmets to look like me, yeah, because we are so close and our allegiances are so tight. And but then also the idea that like she's having to kill her former life, her former self, yeah. Like that, like it's so chilling.
It's
absolutely very good though.
Yeah, I was,
it makes complete sense to me why she went into like an existential crisis after that.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to talk about the next episode then? So the last episode, right, which is our last Ahsoka episode, last episode of the season, the show, is Resolve, right? Mm-hmm. And it opens with Padme's funeral, which I fucking loved. I loved having this scene. I love that we put Ahsoka in this scene. Yeah. I feel like it's nice to like, again, have these things where it effectively feels like you didn't see Ahsoka in this scene because she was just on the other side of the camera, you know? Like, and having these moments where we get to sort of like camera pan and like, there she is, you know? I really liked the beginning of this, and I like, I don't know, like it was just, I think you kind of can understand, like, obviously it's a funeral, so like everyone is grieving, but I feel like you kind of understand that this is a funeral not only for Padme, but like every single person in Ahsoka's life that she loved that is gone now, which is like all of the clones. It's Anakin. It's like all of these things, her past self. Like, it is truly the end of things, and like how sad and heavy it feels. I really like that. I also really like the part with Bail where he's like communicating to her, but she's like up on the roof, and then he's just saying weird shit.
Yeah. The Coruscant guard is just like, okay, man. He's just like, if you need anything from me, like, please don't hesitate. And they're like, we just want you to get out of the restricted area, man.
3 months later, he gets a call from one of them. Like, I'm in trouble, man. I need legal help.
Bail's like, who are you? He's like, what do you mean?
You said if I needed anything, I could ask.
He's like, I wasn't talking to you. I think the Ahsoka episodes were really good. I mean, not that I don't think the Dooku episodes were good, but
you're like, actually, the Dooku episodes are shit.
Well, as a character who's like a really good character and like is not just like this isn't just like her villain backstory. Obviously, she's not a villain. Yeah, I think it's very, very good. Love to see it.
I will also note that this last episode, a long time ago,
in a galaxy far, far away. Yes.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, aka when I was in college, a book came out called Ahsoka. Uh-huh. It was written by E.K. Johnston, I believe, which was, and this was before Clone Wars Season 7 came out, just to like date this. It was effectively a book about what happened to Ahsoka, but like kind of a ways after Order 66. So the premise of the book is that she's kind of like on a backwater planet, like in just kind of like a town with some workers. Like, she has assumed another name and is kind of like going through the motions of like, what is my life? You know, there's kind of a B plot of her like slowly collecting things to build new lightsabers and deciding like if that's really the path that she wants to go down, etc. And then it had flashbacks to stuff actually that did happen in the season 7 when that ended up coming out. That episode, number 6, Resolve, is effectively the same premise as that book. It's not like the exact same characters or the same planet, I don't believe, but it's the same like premise. And so effectively they, I was just looking this up on Wikipedia, like they Dave Filoni wrote the outline for that book and then like gave it to the writer, and that episode was based on the same outline. So it's like, it's supposed to be kind of the same like time period and understanding, but like it's interesting that they found a way to like reformat it from a book to a 15 minute show episode, which I actually kind of enjoy under like accessibility, right? Because it's just like you still get to have that story, but kind of in like a bite-sized, like easier to access piece. I thought that was really interesting. It effectively goes the same way. But yeah, no, I thought that was an interesting way to end the show, was just kind of this, what felt like kind of a Clone Wars episode on just like a planet. But I like, you know, getting to see characters change.
I like that. I mean, this is the last one after, it's after Practice Makes Perfect. But like, if you follow, like, I think the last one for Dooku is a Sith Lord, like it ends with him having killed Yaddle and then it's like effectively like isolated himself and like alone with Palpatine, like that's his only friend, his terrible boss. But like, I like that Ahsoka's episode ends with her reaching back out, like she has been isolated, she's reaching back out, like it's very opposite. Very good.
Do we want to talk about any more of these Dooku episodes? Remind me, what is episode 3 Choices?
That's the one with that senator.
Oh, that's the one where they go to Raxus, right? Mace, which is interesting because Raxus coming up again. We see Raxus in the first season of Bad Batch, I think.
Yeah, we do.
So it's interesting to go back to that. That episode, interesting. It felt, now that I'm thinking about it, it wasn't the most memorable, I guess, of the series.
No, I don't think it had like that many long lasting sort of like effects, other than like, I think it really helped Echo separate who he was, or like how he used to function.
Oh, you're talking about the Bad Batch episode.
Oh yeah,
I was talking about this one.
Never mind.
No. I mean, like that's a good point.
We've already covered that one.
Yeah, like a go lot. Listen. You to can that go one. Listen to the episode. Yeah, I'm trying to like this is
can't
the one.
Speak to its quality.
That's true. I this is the one with Mace Windu in it, which again, I think it's interesting to see Dooku versus like Windu when it comes to like ideology.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first one we see Dooku kind of like, oh, he has some like bent towards the dark side, but like he's up against like Qui-Gon, who's very like, whoa, you can't just like choke a guy. It's like, whoa, dad, chill out.
Whoa, man.
Whoa. Like, and then making the split second decision to like release the hostage so that like, because he knows if he sees the son reunited with the father, and like the son is speaking to the father, you know, in a reasonable way, being like, you can't fucking keep doing this, dad. Dooku will like ease off and be like, oh, okay. I like that it's like the less charitable people. I mean, because like we have the charity of like Qui-Gon, and then we have him, we have Dooku butted up against the like legalism of Dooku, or not Dooku, Windu, which like, not that you only make choice, like you're not culpable for the choices based on the people you're around, like just because someone's annoying you doesn't make it right to punch them, right? You know. So like, you know, just because one guy you know is really legalistic doesn't mean that like, you know, your actions are justified in like you know turning dark side. But I do think that it speaks to the greater like state of the Jedi, where like they elevate Windu.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over Dooku.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of the point of that episode.
Yeah.
And it kind of seals the fate of Dooku.
Yeah. I will say, I just skimming the Wikipedia page for this. This is also one where Dooku has a conversation with like that one guard with the two colored eyes, the heterochromia.
Oh yeah.
At the end.
Oh, that's right.
And effectively he's saying about how the senator was essentially selling land on their planet to like off-world companies to like industrialize it, and like also again kind of reiterating that like the Jedi, it literally like the Jedi is the lapdogs of the Senate, and they're
in
not really
opinion,
like,
and the Jedi are evil.
Yeah, and well, in my opinion, the Jedi are evil. Some of them at least. And then Dooku was like, well, the Jedi who died could have helped you, why didn't you tell her? And then they like go back to Coruscant, and they like elect Windu as like the new which again, like it's interesting that he is like so like legalistic essentially and like rules oriented, and is like effectively, instead of like hearing and understanding like with empathy the plight of these people, and like, yeah, they made a bad decision, but they made it out of like a need, and maybe we should address the need. It's like, well, you did a wrong thing and you're gonna pay for it. Hi, it's me, Mace Windu. And again, I think that really like leads the Jedi into like this era of like not necessarily like intolerance, but like they're very much like burying their heads in the sand about all of this stuff, which like ultimately becomes like a huge part of their downfall.
Yeah, Absolutely.
And then we have Sith Lord, right? Which is the episode with Yaddle, who like, hey, hey, Yaddle.
Hey, she's way back. To make Yaddle relevant.
I also love that Yaddle speaks completely normally.
It's just Yoda being a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, it seems like he's like old and weird, which is fine, I guess. Good for him.
He just thought, you know what would be really funny?
If I spoke a little backwards.
But he's like, but I really have to commit to the bit. He's like Winston from New Girl, where like he doesn't understand what pranks are.
Yes.
So he either goes way too hard or
so
way too low.
So he's been doing this for like 300 years.
And he's just like, I'm getting him good. And it's like, everyone just kind of thinks you speak weird. Like that. Yeah. It's just weird.
What if like...
Yaddle's like, just like, I don't know,
when
man.
He showed up in the Jedi, he spoke normally. And then, one day he just was like, what if I tried this out and no one mentioned it? And they just let him go.
He said one sentence weird because he has social anxiety. And then everyone thought he spoke like that. So he just committed to the bit.
He said, I speak like this now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like if you like had an accent when you first met someone because you like freaked out. This is a premise in some sitcom. It might be an episode of New Girl. Or something where it's
I don't think it is, but yeah.
Someone having a British accent. What is... Oh, no, it's Parks and Rec. Tom talks to some girl, which might be Nadia. And he has like a British accent. He's just like, oh God, why did I do that? I just freaked out. That's like Yoda, but he like committed to it. He's like, I can't let anyone know that I was just so fucking freaked out.
That's why everyone thinks he's so like... wise, yeah. Because he has to think about how he's projecting his sentence
and he's like, they don't listen to me when I talk normally, but if I talk in backward sentences
they really have to pay
super
attention.
Wise. And so he's just like, yeah, I'm gonna do this for the rest of my fucking life. Or he got really sick and then his brain broke or something.
He had a high fever for a while.
Yeah, and at his advanced age, you know. Yeah, this episode really ripped. I really liked this part because this is the episode where, the Sith Lord, the fourth episode, yeah. Where he finds out that Qui-Gon is dead. This is during or to the end of Phantom Menace, which mm-hmm. is super interesting timing wise. Again, I thought he left like many years ago.
Fully, yeah.
But that he goes to confront Sidious and is like, Qui-Gon wasn't supposed to die. And Sidious is like, well, you know, whatever.
Hey, can't now make an omelet without breaking a few eggs.
Pretty much.
That's what he says.
I wish he spoke in idioms.
become even more infuriating to me.
Yeah, I'd be like, Grandpa, stop.
What the fuck do you mean, Grandpa?
Grandpa, nothing you say makes sense. Him and Yoda would be
He's
great
like,
friends.
Don't put your horse before the cart or whatever the fuck that saying is.
He speaks in idioms that are wrong. He's like, don't put your dog before the cart.
What is one of the ones that I got real bad? Oh, I said, we'll burn that bridge when
we get to
it.
And it's like, I don't think that's the point. How would you cross the bridge? And then I said, lightning only strikes or never strikes once. And it's like, what is that? That's nothing. Lightning isn't real.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We're neurodivergent.
It's okay.
It doesn't matter.
We're barely hanging on as is. But yeah, no, I think this was a really interesting conversation that he has with Sidious. Like, it's very, again, enlightening. And you can kind of see, like, again, a lot of his grief as a motivator. And I love that Yaddle was, like, sneaking around and being like, you bitch!
I got you!
Also, like, wild... I don't know, like, the fight there is really interesting. Wild that he's just like, I'm gonna smash you in a door.
I like that that doesn't kill her, though.
No.
I like that she kind of is able to shed light on him one more time, and then he chooses again to kill her.
Yeah.
Despite showing remorse that she died the quote first time. Like, it's wild.
Right, because when he kills her, he, like, falls down, right?
Yeah.
I just like, and he's like completely in darkness. Yeah, that the end part of this episode is so wild where he willingly kills her, just like cuts her down, right? Even after that, after he's shown remorse and already done something terrible and feels bad, he's like, there's nothing left.
He doubles down. He takes that shovel and he keeps on digging the hole that he's in. No, I like it underground.
It's like such a, again, like, I mean, it's pride. And I feel like before watching this, it's like, oh, well, Dooku's just like always been a bad dude, like he picked a wrong path and whatever, but it is like all of these things motivated by like frustration with the Republic, by grief of losing effectively his kid, and then doubling down because it's like there's nothing left for me, like sure, I'll kill someone I care about, not once but twice. And like,
he thinks that I think he thinks if he really commits then he'll get what he wanted, and like anything is worth sacrificing if it gets him to his end result.
And I think at that point,
which eventually
he's like,
obviously gets fucked up, and he never gets that result.
He's like, I've already lost everything that I love, so like there's nothing left to lose.
Then he starts destroying things that other people love, which is great,
and the whole world also. God, like, what a good, it was just so good. Like,
it was very good. So sad, so good though.
I mean, you know me, I love
sad and good
stuff.
in our minds really hold hands.
They do.
And walk into hell together.
Yeah. What is it? I will see God and then walk backwards into hell.
Yeah, I will face God and walk backwards into hell.
Thanks, Tumblr
from
post.
Like a Tumblr post, yeah.
I want that on our wall. I think that's most of what I had to say.
No, I mean, like, this wasn't very meaty. It was dealing with characters that we already know.
Yeah.
But again, I think we got like a, I mean, again, I'm such a fan of like fleshing out and humanizing the villain and, mm-hmm. and seeing how we got to that place. That's always interesting. Cause again, I think it's much less interesting if you're like, he was just kind of a bitch the whole time.
Yeah. It's like he had no redeeming qualities.
Like, or like, I mean, but he was like a human, right? Yeah. So like, you know, again, people aren't just born evil. You something happens and you make choices and that's what gets you into the problems that you're in. So it's good to see that. And I like that it wasn't overwhelmed with like Jedi speak.
Yeah.
There wasn't like, you know, pray about it some more.
You got to trust the Force.
Yeah.
The Force is in us all.
What does that mean?
That's nothing. Peepaw, please.
Which I think is like, I think that like Ahsoka gets really frustrated with that in a way. So I don't know. For everyone on their sort of deconstruction journey, she's our girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
We love her.
I kind of love that, like, as time goes on, that, like, and I guess because I have a greater understanding of what that looks like as someone currently doing that, I like that, like, it becomes more relevant that that is what she's doing, right?
Yeah.
She's, like, deconstructing, like, the thing that she was born into. And like, if it's something that she really believes in, and then it's like, how
what
can
it
I
means
still
for her?
Yeah, and help
what she wants to retain
still.
From it, what she wants to not retain from it.
It's super fascinating. Yeah. I love it, and like, I think the show was a really great, I don't know, like ode to these characters, to her character specifically, and like, obviously, like it was really interesting with Dooku's involvement. Yeah, I'm interested to see Empire. I will say, I'm not as excited for it, but
I will say I don't really care about Morgan Elspeth.
No,
maybe that will change. I highly doubt it.
I don't know.
Excited to see about Barriss.
Yes,
though.
This is the one thing I'll say is like I'm really interested to see Barriss because I don't think we just don't have a lot of content with her. And also, I will say the way that she was treated,
not cool.
Clone Wars, not
super
cool.
Not cool.
Like
at all.
Like again, the storyline is like, why did you pick that character for that storyline?
Why did you pick a character that looks like that?
Yeah.
for that
crime. Yeah, feels a little tone deaf there,
little
y'all.
Bit
so I'm interested to see if they like add any additional context for that, etc. I don't really know how you get yourself out of that one, but we will see.
Yeah, we will see.
And I think there's gonna be some more like fun character cameos. I'm pretty sure Grievous is in that one, so we'll see what he's fucking around with.
I really like his character. There's a episode of Clone Wars, Oh Lair of Grievous.
Yeah,
that's
really
one of my favorite
on.
ones.
Yeah, I like
really
that like. This is such a tangent, but that part where is it the Padawan or is it Kit Fisto walking through his lair and you see those statues that are like him before he was like cybernetic, and like how he, I don't know, I really like that part. It was really cool.
I want more Grievous stuff. That's fun.
I think like people see him as just like straight up goofy, and I think he actually does have a really interesting story that is like straight up never talked about.
Never, except for that one episode.
Except
like
for,
we never hear about
they
it.
They never really talk about it.
No.
Like it's just kind of hinted.
Very whoa. It's very environmental storytelling.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought you were gonna say something in Latin for some reason. I was like,
nope,
yep.
Nope.
So yeah,
in vino veritas.
I was like, yeah, something like that. As we all know, there's a lot of wine drinking in that episode and truths being shared.
Yeah, they all gather around the table for a good glass of wine and they're like, you know,
wow, can
maybe
you believe
we
it?
Do have more in common than we
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how that episode ends, right?
Yeah.
No one dies.
Nope. All right, that is all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening.
We'll be publishing an episode for Tales of the Empire next Monday, so tune in for that. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and also on Instagram and Tumblr at The Batch Pod. And while you're here, if you could leave a review if you liked the show, and let us know what other shows we should cover.
So if you like story,
and you like Star Wars,
then tune in for the next episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Batch.
Bye!